Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, Cakes, and JP, EB's in Indiana at his daughter's volleyball match. She plays for Cornell. Joining us right now is Scott Abraham, ABC7 sports director and anchor. By the way, EB picks the Commanders 27-20.
Okay.
Did get his pick.
That would be an over.
Hey, Scott.
Happy Friday.
Hey, buddy.
Happy Friday to you. Did we figure out his intro song? I know Jason's going to ask you about it.
I completely forgot. I forgot.
I was just telling him I failed my homework assignment, so that I get a demerit.
There's no chance it's Walking on the Sun by Smash.
I don't think so.
No. I mean, there's just no chance.
I'm a big classic rock guy, like Springsteen, Journey.
Okay.
So maybe I'll go down those roads.
All right, if you forget next week, we're just going to give you one.
Yeah, we'll just assign one.
Yeah. And it probably won't be Springsteen because Steve Sands has Springsteen. So we'll probably nobody has Journey.
No,
we're going to rock out some Journey pick. For
you. Well, yeah. My daughter's name is Journey, and we like the band Journey, so it may make sense, guys.
Okay.
Oh, Stone and Love.
Right, let's do it.
Yeah, that's all right. That's your walk up.
So Scott,
have you guys been up to Solheim Cup yet? I mean, that was my first time at RTJ, guys. I was so impressed.
The property's unbelievable. But apparently we're hearing nightmarish stories of fans trying to get there.
Yeah, that's what we got that. We had an email this morning from our news desk saying people are calling in saying, I guess they're busing in from that concert venue out there, Jiffy Lube, and the lines are insane.
Yeah, and we're hearing they only have 7 buses running. I don't know whose responsibility it was. Is it the county or if it was RTJ or if the Solheim Cup has like a travel department, but you can't have 7 buses. I mean, this is a huge event for this area. You got to have like 25 buses.
It's the equivalent of a Ryder Cup on the women's side.
Yes, right.
Fantastic. So it's unfortunate. Hopefully they get it figured out.
All right. So Manuel Forbes being out, big deal, little deal?
Well, we're going to really find out if Emmanuel Forbes was a big part of the problem or that it's a much bigger than Emmanuel Forbes because, you know, the blame game has certainly been on Emmanuel the last couple of years, right? His rookie year and this year, obviously the first game. So we're going to see who steps in terms of a Michael Davis or, I apologize if I butcher the name, Noah Igbinoghe.
I'll go with that.
Right. It's one of those tough names, but it's next man up mentality. He's going to miss some time, and they're going to be tested with Malik Nabers, the rookie from LSU, the Giants wide receiver. So, you know, they're going to test those cornerbacks because what the Buccaneers did, the success they had. So we're going to see if Forbes is part of the problem or maybe the big part of the problem come Sunday.
You actually interviewed Forbes before the game, and he seemed to spout a lot of confidence. Do you feel bad for the kid that he's missing time now?
It's unfortunate. It's part of the game because, you know, it seemed like he was really ready for a bounce back year. He was focused, you know, from the mental health aspect. We had a good conversation. We had a sit down conversation during training camp, and he talked about how, you know, the challenges and the adversity he faced his rookie year really kind of took a toll on the mental aspect and how he's worked through that. Talked to a lot of, you know, people close to him to help him get through kind of those tough days. And, you know, even on Wednesday when we talked to him in the locker room, he seemed upbeat and he seemed like he was ready to go. And then yesterday he popped up as limited and we found out he's going to have surgery. So a lot happened from Wednesday to Thursday, which was very interesting.
Talking to Scott Abraham from ABC7. So a lot was made of Jaden Daniels running so much in week one. You got to hear from Dan Quinn, from Cliff Kingsbury. What should fans expect this week from Jaden?
Yeah, so I don't want Jaden to kind of like overthink this, right? I mean, just be him. 16 carries, yes, that's a lot at the NFL level. If you need a reminder, guys, look what happened last night. It can happen in an instant. And, you know, what's going on with Tua is horrible. It was a horrible scene. And you don't want anything like that to happen to what you hope to be your franchise quarterback. He's got to be smart. He's got to pick his spots. I asked him during the press conference, when you're in the pocket and you decide to tuck it and run, what are you seeing? Like, what are you thinking about when you decide to do that? Obviously, the processing is so quick, guys, in live game action. And he says it's situational. He doesn't, he has that clock in his head, and he's like, it's time to go when he feels like the time's up to go. So I would like to see him maybe stay in his reads a little bit more. I felt like in the Tampa game he had maybe a little happy feet where he may felt some pressure or felt uncomfortable and got off his read quickly and just took off. I would like to maybe see him stay in the pocket a little bit more, work on those reads. And but I don't want him to not be Jaden. Like Jaden, that's what got him to this point are his legs. So 16 carries, let's maybe try to cut that in half, 8 to 10 carries, and see what happens.
Do you see a concerted effort by Cliff Kingsbury and the offensive staff to really up Eckler's carries? He only had 2 in the opener. I understand you want to use him more in the passing game and in pass pro, but he looked pretty fresh. He looked spry in the opener. I would probably want to get him 5 or 6 carries as opposed to 2. Do you think that happens on Sunday?
I tell you what, when you watch Eckler get the ball in his hands, guys, he looks like he has a booster rocket on him. I mean, when he touches the ball, he just boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. He's got some wheels. So I think that's a good thing to have, a good problem to have with Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Eckler both in the backfield. How are you going to find that balance of, the masher in between the tackles of a Brian Robinson Jr. or maybe a toss player around the edges for an Austin Eckler? I agree. I think Austin Eckler should get his hands on the ball as much as possible. You know what he can do in the passing game. Like to see him run the football a little bit more. But it just shows you what the running game was pretty solid in that first game. Certainly, from a receiving aspect, Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Eckler were the 2 top so-called receivers in that football game. So Cliff Kingsbury is going to utilize both Robinson and Austin Eckler in the run game and certainly in the pass game as well.
Hey, one thing that we were kicking around, did we ever get an answer on why Luke McCaffrey didn't throw that ball across the field? Because it looked like it could have been a big play on the pass option that he had there.
Yeah, I mean, we were in the scrum on Wednesday, and J.P. Finley asked him that question, and he said it was just again, you go back to the processing. It's such a split-second decision. At the time, he saw something, but he decided to tuck it and run after the catch. But looking back on the film, Luke was kind of kicking himself because he saw the wall set up. But again, he's a rookie, and I think part of the mental aspect is you don't want anything to go crazy in that moment, especially being a rookie, and maybe he just didn't have that trust and confidence in himself to deliver that ball in that moment. It's such a big stage, but again, these are all rookies. Jaden, Luke, these are learning moments. These are growing moments. They are learning what it's like to be in the NFL and the speed of the game, and they'll be better as we go forward.
Scotty, the thing that kind of concerns me, I think Washington wins the game kind of ugly, but the thing that kind of concerns me, and you kind of alluded to it already, is the Giants' defensive line was just really bad last week and didn't get to Sam Darnold and made him look like, freaking Peyton Manning. And Sam Darnold, throughout his career, has been a turnover machine. They couldn't get to him. He's been sacked a lot. They couldn't get to him. I think that they're going to have a better – I think the front 7 for New York's going to have a better day. So going to put a little bit more pressure on Daniels when he's dropping back. Maybe that means Daniels scoots out and runs more than I expect. But I think the defensive line and those linebackers for the Giants will play a much better game than they did last week.
Completely agree, because I think this Giants front took a personal of how poor they played in the opener, and they're probably licking their chops a little bit. They get a rookie quarterback and a suspect Commanders offensive line, so you have to expect that these guys on that front for the Giants are going to get after Jaden, going to get after that offensive line. So how are you going to adjust? How are you going to handle that pressure, throw in the quick passing game, get Terry McLaurin involved a little bit more in the slants or the wide receiver screens, especially early on in the game? You can't have Terry catching his first pass midway through the third quarter. But to counter that, I also think the Washington defense is going to be better, because listening to Joe Witt Jr. yesterday, they're taking it personally too. They know they didn't tackle well. They know they got pressure on Baker, but they couldn't get him to the ground. So I'm expecting an ugly, low-scoring game because I think both defenses took it personal of how they performed in week one. So I think it's going to be a slop fest, kind of a rock fight on Sunday, and I'm expecting both defenses to play much better.
Sounded like Johnny Newton is trending towards playing. Yep. Were you able to see him on the practice field? How did he jump out at you this week when you saw him?
So yeah, he went through. He was he went through drills yesterday. He was in terms of Wednesday, he didn't really go through anything. So they're ramping him up. I asked Dan Quinn on Wednesday during his press conference, what's the deal? What's his status? And, you know, along your lines, he seems like he's trending in the right direction. You may see him on Sunday. I think the expectation among the beat corps is that Johnny Newton will make his NFL debut on Sunday, and that's just going to add to the depth and the rotational pieces on that defensive line because they looked a little bit gassed there in the fourth quarter against Tampa Bay, the John Allens, the Deron Payne, the Fedarian Mathis, and then you add in a second-round pick, the Johnny Newton, that wreaked havoc in the Big Ten with Illinois. That's just going to add much more value and intensity to that D-line of Washington.
What sort of Giants crowd invasion are you envisioning on Sunday at Northwest Stadium? 20%? 25%? Do you think it'll be less than that? Do you think it'll be mostly Commanders fans in the stands this Sunday?
Still got to get used to that Northwest Stadium, guys.
I know, right?
Doesn't roll off the tongue yet. you know how it is with these NFC East teams, the Phillies, the Dallas Cowboys, the Giants. There's going to be some big blue in there. There's no doubt in my mind. I remember last year, I think it was the season opener. I think it might have been Arizona. That was the first time where you kind of felt like it was all burgundy and gold. Arizona was a perfect type of opener because they're so far in the West Coast. That they don't travel too well, especially to the East. So I think there's going to be a good contingent of Giants fans, percentage-wise, you know, maybe like a 20, 25% big blue showing. They usually have that one little section on their behind their sideline that is a bunch of blue. So I don't think it's going to be all burgundy and gold, but there's certainly going to be plenty of Giants fans, guys. That's just the way it is, unfortunately.
You're right. And Scotty, if they lose to the Giants, maybe I'm being irrational here because I said it's a must win. I'm not expecting them to go to the playoffs. I just think it's a must win because you got to take advantage of a bad team, turn it around a little bit. But if they lose to the Giants and after the way the Giants played last week, what's the reaction going to be of the fans and the media if they lose to a team that scored 6 points? Only team in the NFL last week that didn't get to double digits. And Daniel Jones was awful.
It's interesting because I was reading some content on the Giants' perspective, like in the New York Post and whatnot, and they're calling this in a sense a must-win game as well. I mean, you look at the urgency from the Giants, you look at the urgency from the Commanders. Whoever loses this game, you probably can kind of strap in and buckle up because it might be a long year, and that I think that's the case for both. So if Washington does lose this game, I think the reaction is going to be quite poor from the fan base. I know the fan base was very concerned with this opening performance with all the talk, all the expectation, all the optimism from what the players are saying, the coaches were saying, and even us media members. I mean, we might be guilty in a sense because, you know, what we saw there in training camp did not translate onto that field. So I'm expecting a much better performance from Washington, especially on defense. I think it's going to be a rock fight. I think it's going to be ugly. I think it's going to be an NFC East game, 20-17, 24-21, one of those type of games. And you just got to hope that Washington comes out on top and finds a way to get to 1-1 and kind of push their season forward.
Scott, I'm sure they all say the right things, but can they have any confidence in the new kicker?
No, you can't. I mean, you have to prove it. Like, you can't just talk about it. You can't just, it comes in with these stats. He had this amount of game-winning kicks here, or, he's clutch. You have to go out there and just prove it. I mean, I'm sorry, guys. I think this is going to be an issue. I think this is going to be plaguing this team throughout the season. I said it back in August. They're on kicker number 5. Yes, you have hope that maybe this is going to be the guy, but there's a reason that these guys they're picking up are kind of on the scrap heap, right? There's a reason why they're not on they weren't on an NFL team. So there are some red flags there with each of these kickers they brought in. you just got to hope maybe this kid gets hot, he gets dialed in. It's a big, it's like golf, it's like tennis, it's like anything else. Like the repetition, the more success you have, the more confidence you have. So getting off to a good start in this first game, hitting a couple of chippies, 35-yarder, 40-yarder, that's going to grow the confidence. That's all. There's a big part of the mental aspect, just like having the yips and putting or serving, you know, in tennis, you're double faulting. It's the same thing with kicking in the NFL. Mental aspect, confidence. Hit a couple, it'll grow, and that's a big part of being a kicker in the NFL.
All right, Scott, good stuff. We'll talk to you next week and just hone in on your journey song.
All right, boys. Yep. Have a good one,
guys.
Thanks again.
Talk to you soon.
Yep. Bye-bye.
I was thinking about it. There's one regular guest who we've never – Jason has been big on this for years, mm-hmm. right? So Bish wants everybody to have their walk-up.
Sure.
Song. Yeah. I don't think John Kime has one.
I don't think he has one as well.
Right.
I'm not even sure we asked him about it.
Because that's usually your thing.
Okay, well, if you remind me, I'll ask him next Monday.
Homework assignment.
Maybe we asked him, and he said he would think about it, and mm-hmm. we just kind of slept on it.
We've gone for like a year plus without it.
But Scotty Abraham, if he forgets, mm-hmm. we're going to play Stone in Love on next Friday.
Good choice. Journey. Like it.
Great intro.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that one by name.
You would recognize it. But that'll be his walk-up.
And I think Journey, when you immediately think Journey, isn't the first song you think of Don't Stop Believing?
Yeah. Of course.
It's their number one seed.
It's the one seed, and it got second life at the end of the Sopranos finale.
I just think this is a better intro.
It's good, too.
Okay, I do
know
this.
Very good.
Yeah.
We're showing our age now. This song probably came out like 1980.
Oh, you know the guy who you mentioned yesterday, who you went to see at the Italian restaurant? The Sinatra singer?
Yeah.
Scott Clark? Scott Hetz Clark?
Yeah, he sent us a message on Instagram.
Ah. Did he really?
Or Facebook, one
so
of those.
So got back to him, yeah.
Yes.
I'm
said
telling
he'd be
you,
happy to come on the show whenever.
The kid was fantastic.
He'd serenade us.
I mean, if you didn't know Frank Sinatra was dead, yeah. you thought Frank Sinatra was singing in that restaurant.
All right.
Cakes.
Coming up next.
Cakesy.
We've been talking Commanders throughout the show. You can always chime in at 800-636-1067. We'll be right back.